Our whole focus this year is in a prayer mode to God. Lord, set my soul on fire. Lord, I want to be able to know that your word is within me, and the burning of your word is so strong that I cannot hold it in. Set my soul afire, Lord, so that I can follow you. Give me, Father, the direction. When I was first called into the ministry, during my prayer time, I would almost all the time end my prayer with, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And then God does the calling and the touching. And from the human standpoint, you look at it and think, "Lord, I don't really think that I mentioned to you when I asked you to send me. I was not talking about sending me as a prison chaplain for 28 years. Then I realized something. God knows exactly what he's doing. So I've always taken it that being in the prison system for all those years just prepared me to be a pastor. Folks, the only difference with personalities, some are behind bars and some aren't. Have you ever noticed in your own life that a lot of times you really mess up, you've done something, and you don't want anybody else to know it? And then you share your heart with a friend or with a group and say, "No, I'm hurting this way," and the next time you're out and about, there's somebody that was in that church said, "Oh yeah, Dan and them told me what you had done. Oh yes, I understand what a wicked individual you are. Proud to see you coming out of it." Well, I'm not proud of Christians who do that. I'm not proud of Christians who go out and talk about other Christians. You see, the Lord looks at us, and as we say, "Lord, send me," God says, "Okay, I'm going to send you. But Lord, set my soul afire to burn the bridges in my life." Now, as you grow older or let's say you're in a corporate realm, whatever, and someone says to you, "Well, you lost that job," you can always go back to the other place, and you'll hear the statement, "No, I can't. I burned those bridges. No way in the world I can come back." What about us Christians? When we say yes to Jesus Christ, God said, "I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit power to burn those bridges that connect you from me to the world." And as he looks at us, he's saying, "I know your thoughts. I see your desires humanly, spiritually. And I also understand that there is war going on within you. And that war is a spiritual warfare which is controlling your physical existence." And we give our heart to the Lord. "Yes, I did." Well, don't we think that maybe the Lord would like to have the body coming along with the heart? "Well, Pastor, I want you to know that I don't believe much in sitting around in a church and all this fellowship stuff you talk about. But I want you to know this. I'll be there in the spirit." Do you all realize how many paints there are in a church? "I'm going to send my spirit." I can't see those spirits. But I guarantee if I could, they would not be the kind I'd like to look at. "Oh, I'll give my spirit, will be there with you." I want flesh and blood. As a human being, I want to relate to the Holy Spirit of God. But God tells us that we have a purpose, and that purpose for each and every one of His children is to take His word. And He'll do the rest. You follow me, Larry? You preach. Okay, Lord, but now don't you think maybe that you can really grow a church if I have free hot dogs at the altar, or I'll have a gift card where they can go get them? All of you who are saved today, here's your hot dog. What in the world are we going to do when the next church gives them a pizza? What are we doing? Your walk and my walk is physical, but it should be spirit-led, not program-devised. Church is a place, a filling station. We should come not expecting the games of the world, but the truth of Almighty God. I love games. I love playing. I love more watching my son and grandson together playing games that I couldn't get by with one button I'd push. But you see, the Lord says, "Now, Larry, I'm not playing games. You let everybody know. And here's the game of life. Listen to it. First of all, is the greatest separation. The greatest separation. Luke 16, verse 26. You're talking about the rich man, the rich man who is looking into heaven. And he's crying out and begging, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus back, which is the drop of water to touch my lips. But if not, send him to warn my brothers that this place is real." Well, here is the statement. Every scripture I'm reading today is what Jesus has said. This is Jesus telling this. Luke 16, 26. And he says, "And besides all of this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." What Jesus is getting across is not that all heaven wanted to come down to hell. The focus on those who are there, what he is getting across to everyone is, once it's over for you, where you fall is where you'll stay. Because I've fixed that great chasm. In the old English, it'll be a great gulf, a separation. When we say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, "Here am I, Lord, send me." We build bridges continually across the chasm. We try to bridge. We want one foot in the world, one foot in God's word and God's kingdom. And the message is, you can't do that. What are we going to do when the Lord comes and we're on the wrong side? People want to play around with the world. Folks, there's a great gulf. There's a great schism. It is split. Once you leave this body, where you go is where you will stay. Nobody's praying you out. I don't care how much money you have. Nobody's going to talk to the Lord well enough to bring you back. Do you know what else Jesus told them? He said, pay attention to this. If your brothers, he's talking about, do not believe the one who preaches, they, meaning the prophets, they will not believe the one who comes back from the grave. They didn't believe Jesus. He's the one who came back from the grave. That was the facts. He said, no, here's what the problem is. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, the bridge is there, and ever so often you want to go back and forth. One of these days that bridge is going to burn and God says you don't need to be on it. I offer to you life, and I offer to you death. Choose ye which one you want to follow. It was Jesus also who said, now those of you who are in the fence row, standing on the fence, waiting to jump either way, he said, I had rather deal with you as either hot or cold. But if you're walking that fence, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Oh, you know, I don't want to take any chances. Yes. Oh, yes, I am a Christian. I'm Jewish. Yes, I'm Islam. Yes, I'm all these things just in case. Don't work. There is a great chasm, and that separation from heaven and hell cannot be kept. As soon as you leave this body, where you are is where you'll dwell throughout eternity. Well, maybe the Lord will change his mind. It's not the Lord that needs to change his mind. It's us. Well, what am I going to do? Burn the bridge. Oh, do you realize how many feelings I'm going to hurt? Now, Larry Pete, you keep preaching like that, and I'll tell you, people don't want to hear that stuff. That's the problem today. Too many have walked away from the truth of God's almighty word, from his strength, from his love, and we've decided to play church, and God says, I will not play church. God watched his son. Every lick of that whole beating, Jesus could have stopped it, but he saw me and you here today. And if he had stopped it, we would have no hope. The Christmas story of his birth, nice story. I mean, it's great for kids to understand and know the story of Jesus born in Bethlehem. As we walk through life, those children are going to understand there's something more than the birth of Jesus, isn't there? Yes. Because you see, Jesus was born. Jesus lived. Jesus taught. He brought the little children to him and said, you adults, even touch one, you will suffer the greatest of deaths. But it all goes to the cross. For all the good Jesus did, if he had not conquered the cross and the grave, without the resurrection Sunday, there is no Christian faith. If you and I believe that we're not going to be resurrected, there is no Christian faith within your heart. It's just a little story that it makes our children feel good. Now, I really don't want to talk about the cross in front of my children because, you know, there's a lot of blood there. There's a lot of hurt and pain on that cross, and I want to try to protect my children from knowing that. Then you have just stopped your children from knowing about Jesus Christ and the truth of salvation. What are you going to do? Wait till they're 18 years old? Don't let them see anything that's going on in the world and how evil it can be, and then all of a sudden you're going to throw them out into the world, a thorn thicket? And a child not even know how to deal with life? Burn the bridge. I wonder why we do that. It's not unique to any human being. Every human being does it. I want you to look at the greatest temptation next. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Old English mammon. You cannot serve two masters. Well, you know, I believe in being equal. No, you don't. You believe in wanting to either make more money and do something to play with it, most of the time not even help anyone else with it. The Lord said you can't serve those two masters. Jesus said, I came to serve you. Listen to that. Do you realize that all the other prophets of all the other religions, they did not come to serve the people. They came for the people to serve them. Jesus is the only prophet that ever walked, the Son of Almighty God, that was a servant to all. And he said, until you're ready and willing in your heart to serve others, you'll never be willing to serve me. He says, open your heart. Don't build a bridge. Don't say, well, I have to do this or my family will go hungry. Let me tell you, Christians, if you can work, you work. Nothing worse than an ornery Christian, too ornery to get a job and work and depend on somebody else to raise them and all that stuff. Nothing worse. And you work for the Lord. But when it comes down to the point of, will I do this for God or will I do this for my pleasure in the world? Nobody needs to tell you the answer as a Christian. You already know it. Yes, but you're talking about it. I'd really have to, I'd have to trust God for that. Yeah, that's what I talk about. That's what I talk about. But God says there's a great temptation for you. And you build a bridge. Lord, I have pushed away all temptation. God looks within our heart and he sees a bridge. Well, what about that bridge? You're still dependent on the world to protect you. And the Lord says to us, I am the creator of all that exists. Between me and the world, there is a great chasm. I give you the bridge of freedom, the cross of my Son, the only bridge that will give you the strength to take my word to a lost and dying world is that cross. Stand on it. Walk on it. It's there for you. My Son died for you to be able to walk on the cross and get to the side where Jesus is. But the greatest temptation, oh Lord, I could lose everything I've got. What was the movie we just watched? Oh, Do You Believe? I thought, you know, isn't that something? That's the world we're in today. The storyline there is the world in which we're in today. Well, you professionals, you get out there and do your thing. Don't you dare tell my child and the one I love so dear about Jesus. Really? Do you really think that the physical healing is the greatest healing that we need in this society? We are headed on a bad route straight down in America because we have refused to burn bridges. The Lord says, look, I offer to you life eternal. You cannot imagine what I will pour out on you. But will somebody please stand up for me? And Jesus goes on to say, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And let me throw one more part to you. He also says that my judgment begins in the house of God. So when the Lord comes, he's going to start coming in, walking down the aisles of the churches first. Should that not give us some indication that when the Lord asks the question, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, will he find faith on earth? He's saying, is there any faith left in my church? Those who profess to follow me, they do not follow me. Those who say, yes, I love the Lord, but they leave the bridges up for each individual sin, their favorite sin in life, so they can run back across the bridge, back and forth, back and forth. And says, you know, the Lord didn't know I was doing that. Folks, let me tell you, everybody knows what you're doing. And if they don't know what you're doing and they don't like you, they'll make it up. And people love believing bad. Why? Because the more bad we accept in our life, the people that are around us who live the same way, we don't have to worry about it because we're all doing the same thing. Don't you worry at all, Brother Larry. I was right in the middle of them, but they didn't know. One of them know that I was a Christian. I worried about the whole crew. Burn the bridge, he said. Because the greatest declaration, many people thought that the greatest temptation would be, the sex and all of this, folks. Money is the root of all evil. Well, the more we get, the more we keep. Ought to be the more I get, the more I can give away to help those who don't have. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Now listen, though, to the greatest declaration. The greatest declaration should send the greatest of warnings directly through the heart of every Christian and every individual searching God's word for their life. Listen to Matthew 25, verses 45 and 46. Jesus is talking to those who's telling them about what all they've done, a few chapters up, and then he's talking to them about, here's what I'm paying attention to, how you watch after others, where if I was in prison, did you come? And he goes through this, and here's what his final statement to them is. Jesus says, and even speaking of God the Father, when you ask him this, he will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. What makes you righteous? What makes me righteous? Believing in the cross, the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in the blood. I know the blood was shed for me. And blood is life-giving. The human body cannot exist without the flow of blood. And Jesus comes on the scene some 2,000 years ago and he says, you remember all of my prophets who were before me? Hey, you Pharisees, you remember you said you know them all and everything is said. The one they spoke of is here. That's me. And what they tried to do, they tried to kill him. Even the ones who loved him, the followers, the crowds that would come around, Jesus had to get away from them because their intent was to take him and make him their king on earth. And you will see much scripture to where, and Jesus walked through them. He made himself invisible because their heart was wrong. They wanted power against the Roman government. And Jesus says to them, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, you all wouldn't even exist. Then he says, my kingdom is in the heart of man. When I said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, do I believe in the virgin birth? You better believe it. Do I believe the scripture when it says that they had beaten Jesus so badly that others could not even spot he was human? He was had no beauty about him that man would seek to come to him. On the cross? Really? Here's this glob of bloody flesh still speaking, getting ready to go to his Father. But do you know after that he spent 40 days on earth? I am so glad that nobody knows what was going on in that 40 days. But Jesus says to us, do you believe? That's who the righteous is. The righteous love. Evil does not love. The righteous give to the poor to help those who don't have. But no man is righteous, no, not one. Therefore, it has to be through the blood of Christ, that we are reborn. On our own, we can do nothing. As a 5 or 6 year old, when my dad died, and at 8 years old, somewhere around there, I knew that God had called me to step forward, and I did. Buffalo Baptist Church in Buffalo, Kentucky. Brother John Wall, and I went forward as a young boy, and I said, I want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life and become a member of this church. In those days, pastors at that point will have you say that to the congregation. And I distinctly remember that I said the very same thing openly. And people terrified me. You know, looking at that congregation, it looked pretty frightening. But because of the foolishness of man, I was not allowed to be baptized till I was 14 years old. You know what the foolishness was in those days? Well, he doesn't even get to accountability until he's 12. Where in the world again? See, I didn't know. But I do know this. When I went forward that Sunday down at Greene County and all the garbage I had to go through to just to serve the Lord down there, I knew in my heart then that God had called me to preach. But I was nothing but a boy. Children were to be seen and not heard. Oh, until I read the Bible. And I was to bring the children before me and protect them. And Jesus looks at all the brilliant adults and says, of such as these children, the kingdom of God is made up. Unless you become as a little child, that's that total trust, total faith, you will never see the face of God through love. Let's pray, folks. Father, I realize that it's not the ending but the beginning. Father, you told us that you would come through your Son, and you came. As you spoke to us through your Son, Father, you delivered your Holy Spirit to the heart of all believers with full power. Father, I pray now that you will set our souls afire. We know the bridges that ought to be burned. Father, give us strength to burn them. Father, we reach out for help, for we are helpless. We know your love for us is superior to the hate of man and all the evil. Father, we're not doing it right. And we pray, Father, that you'll touch each heart to make a commitment that either we serve you or serve the world. And that no one is allowed as your child to run back and forth across that bridge. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.